Warning, DeepFix contains adult content and language.
So if you don't touch processed foods but eat gummy bears, this may not be for you.
And now, DeepFix.
Hello, and welcome to Deep Fix, where we get a fix of all of our favorite obsessions. I'm your host, Jen B. And this season, we are taking a deep dive into the epic Real Housewives of New York City, seasons 1-3. And this episode, we are breaking down season 3, episode 7, New Girl, Old Money. Now, let's get our fix. Well, I feel like we have so much to talk about this episode. We've got Bethany Frankel completely melting down on social media. We've got Roni Legacy Ultimate Girls Trip coming up. We've got Watch What Happens Live shade. I mean, the gifts just keep on coming. So I've been thinking about what should we do for the next season of the pod. And I keep coming back around to it. On Bethany getting married and Bethany ever after when she left Roni after season 3. And I think it's got to be the next season's topic. It's got to be. And in fact, I posted a clip at Deep Fix Podcast on our TikTok that came from Bethany. I think it was Bethany getting married. Yeah, it was the first season of Bethany getting married, which I think was my mental approval of what the next season is going to be about. I think we just have to do it. I know I've got some hot takes. I remember watching it and I loved Bethany. I watched every episode. I was coming off of Roni where I loved her. I loved everything Skinny Girl. I was a big supporter. And I remember just, she rubbed me the wrong way in these seasons of her own show. And I really think it was the showing of who she is and a bit of kind of the cracks starting to show. I wasn't thrilled with how she treated Jason. I know there's been a lot in the press about, you know, him and their relationship and all of that. But I just remember watching this going, God, I would not put up with this from a partner, let alone a spouse, and coming from her behavior. So I feel like it's the natural flow. It's the natural transition. It keeps popping up in things I'm doing. I think it's the universe talking to me. So let me know what you think if we did a Bethany getting married, Bethany ever after deep dive for next season. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say. So should we talk about Bethany's meltdown on social media or meltdowns? I feel like there's been so many of them. It's been quite epic to watch, I have to say. I don't know if this comes from like a narcissistic need to have attention, but I figured if I cashed a paycheck like I did with Skinny Girl, and I know there was a lot of conversation about, was it $100 million? Was it something less than that? I think if I remember correctly, it was $100 million deal, but she phased out at $100 million. So it was like as each milestone hit, she would make more and more money. So I don't think it was a lump sum $100 million, but it certainly was a shit ton of cash. And it's funny. It's almost like the success. She was better on Housewives before she was successful, because I think she was a little bit more careful she was a little more careful. The insults came, but she wasn't quite the know-it-all energy that comes from her now, which I think she's proven in herself that she thinks she does know it all, as she told Heather, maybe I do know it all. So I feel like she's so much better pre-success, which I don't begrudge her success, but on Housewives, I really loved her in the beginning. But now she's just fucking flipping out. And I don't know if you guys have seen Bravo Bitch Fest on TikTok. I'm not sure if she's on Instagram too, but holy shit, she is hilarious. Her impressions of Bethany are just spot on. They're so hilarious. It gives me life. So if you haven't checked out Bravo Bitch Fest on TikTok, go check her out. Shout out to her. She's hilarious. Thank you for all of your content. I'm loving every second of it. And it's funny because it's a parody and yet it's so spot on at the same time. But I don't know what to make of Bethany and what's going on with her. It's like at some point you think you would just pull back. You know, she's got her her reality reckoning, which is getting the unions together and all of that, which it's interesting because she's clearly got some freaking issues, right? She's got some issues. She's having her meltdowns. But, and I think this is a good way to approach life. Even if you disagree with somebody on one thing or you don't see the same eye to eye on one thing, doesn't mean that they're going to be wrong about everything. And I do think she's on to something with her comments about Andy Cohen and how, why am I going to protect Andy? He doesn't protect me anymore. And kind of coming for the way that the behavior. So if you remember when Jeff Lewis was on with Bethany on Watch What Happens Live with Andy, and Andy came for her about her shit talking, and then now she's doing rewives and that whole thing. And Jeff kind of called her out for trying to act like she invented the medium of recapping housewife shows. I was like, hello, ever heard of deep fix? I think I've said that before, but it was just, I think that was the beginning of the end for Bethany and Andy. We all know that Bethany, definitely from the narcissistic background and her childhood, she's a relationship burner. She burns it down to the fucking ground. And she is burning her relationship with Andy down to the ground. And although she's definitely having meltdowns, she's fucking losing her mind in many ways, I'm going to say I'm not going to discount everything she's saying, at least about Andy and how he behaves. I mean, the shadiness of Watch What Happens Live and the shadiness of Andy Cohen, he really does ask. I was happy when Heather Dubrow, when he said, you know, who would make the least amount of money if they sold their house on Orange County? And then went on to say something about Gina. I love that, A, when Heather was asked this on the show, she said, I'm not going to answer that. That's just mean. Good for her, because that was a shitty question. And then B, I'm not really a big fan of Gina on OC, but when she came for Andy and was like, first of all, Andy, there's two women on the cast who don't even own a house. They're renters. And I'm the only one who owns a house without a husband. So, you know, and I'm 20 years younger than these women. Like, let's not act like I'm behind the eight ball in life. I was so behind Gina. I was such a Gina fan in that moment. And I think a lot of people felt this way. This might be a resurgence for Gina. And this is where Andy's going to fall flat, because he's going to get pissed that she had the audacity to not kiss the ring and call Andy out for being a total asshole, which he was. And I hope he doesn't take that out on her, because she, I think, could have a renaissance. I think a lot of people, when she came out with this attitude, were like me and were like, yeah, I fucking stand with Gina on this one. So although Bethany is losing her mind in many ways and just proving to be insufferable on social media at times, I'm not going to discount everything she says, because Andy is fucking shady and he does ask these women to say horrible things about each other. And it's like I said, they're losing touch with what we liked. And I really do worry about having kind of like these bitchy dudes running the networks and being the producers, the Carlos Kings, who I just find to be so annoying. Sorry, I do. Don't come at me. But I feel like you've got these guys running the show for these women, and all they love to see these women bitching and fighting and saying shitty things to each other. But that's not what us women who watch the show want. And it's not good for the women either. I really feel like they're missing the mark. And I think Bethany hit the nail on the head when she is bringing up the fact that Andy really does, you know, he wants to call everybody a pot stirrer. He's the biggest pot stirrer, and really just rude and outrageous ways. So even people who are having a meltdown, some of their points may be true, right? Even people who you just vehemently disagree with or think is crazy, don't discount everything they have to say. You might learn something from them too. And I think Bethany is onto something with this. And that just made me remember too, one of the things I love about Bravo Bitch Fest is she's always doing parodies of Bethany while she's eating. And I'm glad that people are finally starting to pick this up, because it's something I've just got to vent about it here. Something that has always driven me crazy about Bethany is the way that she eats. She literally, watch any of her food videos, she'll have a piece of licorice candy that is literally no bigger than a Chiclet piece of gum, and she can't put the whole thing in her mouth. She takes a teeny little squirrel bite of everything and then chews it for 20 minutes. It's this very obvious, like, food problem, right? There's just, she always said she has food noise. Let's call it food noise. If you remember when she was friends with Jill, it was taste everything, eat nothing. And I hate that now she goes on social media and she's constantly trying to act like she's eating. First of all, we know she doesn't finish anything. She said it. I taste everything, I eat nothing. She doesn't finish anything that she's eaten. You'll notice she's never like at the end of the video finishing off the English muffin with cottage cheese that she's made or whatever, right? It's always a couple of bites and it's these really weird tiny mouse bites that she takes and chews obnoxiously. But I just hate that she goes on. She wants to talk about that she hates the Kardashians and all of these people with the filters and the fake, you know, the way that you look is not real, which I agree with. Like, that's not real life. That's all just stop putting these pressures on women. Stop putting these filters on and pretending like we're not photoshopping ourselves, right? Just be who you are. Be authentic. I mean, the fake teeth phenomenon, don't even get me started. Like, I just, can we all look human, right? But she wants to complain about that, and yet she kind of does the same thing, but with food. She puts it out there, this big fake scheme, like she eats all the time and is constantly making food and constantly eating. And what her thing is she takes like three bites of things and doesn't eat any more of them. And I just think it's a bit of fake too, because just like people are putting themselves out there with a filter and acting like that's what you should look like, she's putting it out there like she's constantly eating, and yet she's outrageously thin. And it's just, it's not, I wish she would be more honest about the fact that she does still have food noise in her head. And she's very particular about how much she eats and when she eats. I just don't think she's being honest about that. And I'd love to see some honesty. Sorry, I had to vent about it. I've hated the way she's eaten since like back in these old days. It's just, oh my God, the mouse bites. I can't take it. So anyway, thank you for indulging me on that. But then going back to watch what happens live in this bitchiness, I don't know if you saw the recent one. I think it was, is it Jessel? I don't even really know. I know it's bad on me. I should know the names of the new housewife, Real Housewives of New York City. I think it's Jessel. I think she's the one who like doesn't sleep with her husband, but yet he like goes to Vietnam by himself a couple times a year. Something very weird is going on, whatever. But I think it was Jessel. She was on with Andy and she made this comment. Andy, again, I just got done talking about, he is so fucking rude in terms of what he tries to stir up with these women. He asked Jessel, who do you think is the most overrated housewife? Okay, first of all, Jessel's been around for all of 1 second, like a hot second. So let's not ask these brand new people who they think the most overrated housewife is. Like, I'm all for hearing what Vicky thinks or Teresa thinks or Melissa, you know, Tamara, even Jill. Like, I'm into hearing what all of them have to say. I'm not into hearing what like the one hit wonder, like we haven't even seen the reunion of your first show and everyone's bored by it already, what they have to think about it. But regardless of that, it's a shady question from Andy completely. And I just think the whole format and production of what's going on with Housewives lends itself to this type of behavior where Jessel says Bethany is the most overrated housewife. And of course, Andy fucking loves it, right? Because Bethany's burning the fucking bridge down on their relationship right now. So Andy loves every second of it. I wouldn't be surprised if I don't think it would be him, but I bet you one of the PAs or producers, I could see them saying something like, you know, Andy's having beef with Bethany. So if that comes up, feel free to, you know, go for it or whatever. Who knows? But I just thought way too fucking convenient. And also, I just think it really highlighted this fake toxicness that has become the Housewives. And it really was highlighting the problem because this new format where there's no need to be interesting in your own life. And it's really a big miss because it's why we all fell in love with Bethany. It wasn't because she was starting fights with everybody, right? She was already popular by come season 3, which is when the big fight with Jill happens. Everyone was loving it is because we were seeing her behind the scenes struggling for money and to start her business and to make a relationship work. And we were getting to know who she was, right? With Jill, she's sending poor Allie off to the nutrition camp and Bobby and her home in the Hamptons. We're getting to know who these people are. And as we move further and further away from following interesting women whose lives kind of naturally interconnect with each other and following them around their lives, doing interesting things into this put a bunch of women and make fake parties and fake gatherings where it's just these women who really don't even care about each other that much and make them start fake fights with each other. It's not interesting, guys. Like, not fucking interesting. We're over it. But it's also creating this real entrenched fakeness that is just, it's creating more toxicity and more teams. And I thought Jessel's comment about Bethany being the most overrated housewife was a perfect example, because say what you want about Bethany, and trust me, I have had such a turnabout with Bethany. I loved her 2008, 2009, 2010. Even when she came back to Roni, I was a huge fan. And in the last year, I've really seen a different side and had a different opinion of her. But you cannot say that she is the most overrated housewife of all time. She's probably one of the best, if not the best, and most iconic housewife of all time. She ran, she sprinted so the others could walk. I mean, again, that was, I don't know how that response, how anyone could believe that that's not a setup response. Andy Cohen is pissed because Bethany's talking shit about him. And now Jessel comes in and says something that nobody has ever said or believes, that Bethany's the most overrated housewife. Say what you want, but smells like a setup to me. And then it's frustrating because, like I said, I watch all of the housewives, all cities. And this fake format, it's just oozing its way into nonsense. Like, I was watching Salt Lake City, which I love. I love those ladies. They do a great job. But you've got the new girl, what's her name, Monica? And she clearly wanted to get in with Meredith because she's realizing the dynamics of the show. So her friend Angie brings her on. Angie's a new, brand new housewife, not really a staple in the franchise. And Monica very clearly realizes, I better get with, you know, the cool girls. I better be on Team Meredith or whatever it is. If I want to stick around, I've got to be a minion. And so Monica, it's like out of the blue, she just chucks her friend Angie under the bus and even more weirdly starts just kissing Meredith's ass. And I remember watching this and it takes the fun out because it snaps me into reality watching this reality show, because I usually am just immersed in it, you know, watching it. You don't even realize an hour's up and you've done watching it. When this kind of bullshit happens, it snaps me back into reality. And I'm just sitting there going, this is so annoying. She's doing this to try to secure a place on the show or become relevant for some argument. She's not doing it because of anything natural, right? And she's got an interesting life. I mean, the gal was banging her brother-in-law for like 2 years or whatever. It's like, let's watch her have to work through all of that and the relationship with her husband and all. But no, we have nothing. I mean, she's basically said she did it. And that's it. Instead, she's gone on fake trips with the girls, which half of them don't even like each other. So why would they be going on a trip together? Fake trips with it's just these women fighting over and over. And I was watching Monica come to Meredith's defense and, you know, scold her friend for daring to say anything about Meredith. And I just thought, ugh, so fake, so contrived, and so illustrative of what is wrong with housewives. And it was the same thing with Tamra on OC, where she came in guns a-blazing, attacking everybody. It was like she knew that that was how she had to make a splash. That's what the producers want, opposed to what's interesting and good TV and healthy for these women. It's fucking demented. But, you know, Tamra came in attacking everybody as opposed to focusing on what was going on in her life. We're focusing on the shitty things that she's saying about people on the show. Again, very contrived. You know, I even got this same vibe at the end of OC this season when everyone started turning against Heather. It's as if, and this is just my theory, it's just my thoughts on what happened, but I think the ladies were either told by producers or word started to get out that Heather had sold her house and was moving to Beverly Hills. And I think with, you know, those ladies were privy to the fact that here's Taylor coming from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and going to the OC. I think they thought, oh, Heather's going to go from Real Housewives of Orange County to Beverly Hills. And because now they all have to have teams with each other and bitch about other people, and it's this group versus that group and all of that, the lady started going, oh shit, well, we better befriend Tamra and Shannon because Heather's about to leave and it's going to be irrelevant whether we were friends with her. So in order to get on Tamra and Shannon's good side, they fucking attacked Heather endlessly. And it was interesting. And I think I heard Heather DeBrow say this, but, and I went, oh my God, that's exactly how I feel. But I've never really been a big Heather Dubrow fan. I thought she came off pretty snobby. I think she's fun to watch, but she came off pretty snobby and unlikable most of the time. And this season, the lady's behavior towards her even made me like Heather. Like, why am I liking Heather and feeling sorry for her right now? Oh, it's because these women are such freaking assholes to her. It was shocking, but I really thought that kind of stuff is what is making the show unwatchable and totally contrived, because the women weren't responding to Heather as you would naturally. They were responding to Heather with their strategy and plot and scheme and plan for next season and how to become relevant in mind. And it's just, it's hard to watch. And you also see some of the same strain of this problem going through in, you'll see the posts of like the duo you never knew you needed, or the Tres Amigas, right? The Lucy and Ethel. And it just, it's so contrived. It's done for the show. It's not done in real life. And what we loved so much about these original seasons of these shows is we were getting a little glimpse, even though they knew they were being filmed, but we were getting a little glimpse into their life. And it's why I also love Gina so much for coming at Shannon about the DUI shit and her talking about her kids and CPS, because I thought the authenticity of that, where she's like, I'm not going to sweep it under the rug because it plays to whatever thing we're doing with each other, or I need to be friends with these people to be relevant on the show. She was like, you fucking crossed a line and I'm going to let you know about it. And I loved it. Again, I was like, I'm loving Gina all of a sudden. I loved it. But you know what I didn't love? Are their fucking reunion outfits. In all reality, Heather Dubrow, I think, was the only one who looked fantastic. There's a video or a clip of her coming out of the trailer after she got ready in that very pretty black dress. I'm not a huge fan of the cutouts, but whatever. It's still very pretty. And she's walking. It's like the dress is flowing around her. She looked great. But I fucking hate the reunion outfits for the rest of the ladies. And I actually kind of hate all of the reunion looks for most of the reunions. I don't know what is going on with these women or their stylists, but can we just go back to like cocktail business attire? I don't need a fucking ball gown like you think you're going to the Academy Awards. I don't need feathers off your shoulder and a train that's 10 feet long. Can we just go back to like a cocktail business attire? It looked great. Like Jenna Lyons wearing the jeans to the Roni. I was going to say season one. That's so funny. Freudian slip. To her first season's reunion. That I just thought... Again, I just thought it was desperate. It's like desperate to be edgy, but all you're doing is just being underdressed to an event. Like, I don't really think that's edgy. I wasn't into the fucking jeans. She doesn't have that great of style. And everybody is just, it's like, it bothers me more because everyone's trying to act like she's such a fashion maven. And I'm like, she looks like shit. So whatever. I'm not into that level of casualness to the reunions, but we really do need to tone it down a notch. And can these ladies get a fucking stylist who doesn't hate their guts? Because, I mean, do we remember last season's Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion? What the fuck were those outfits? I mean, I don't know what's going on with these women and what they've done to their stylists to have them hate them this much, but we got to do something like help these women on their reunion looks and even some of their confessional looks, like Shannon Bedore in that pink like blazer with a black latex bustier on underneath, and her boobs look like separated and weird. Who the fuck told her that looked good? I mean, I don't know. And again, who cares that somebody told you that looked good? Did you not look in the mirror? Because you should know that doesn't look good. And I also think that was part of the problem with what they're doing with the reunions now, too. There's a video, I'll post it up on TikTok, of the set getting produced for the Real Housewives of OC's latest reunion, where they had that big, almost like Soarin' at Disneyland, that big screen around them that made it, they turned it on, it looked like they were at the beach. It was literally like a full day of getting the set up. I'm like, can we just fucking go back to a chandelier and a couple of fucking couches? Like, I don't need a $10 million set built for a Real Housewives two-part reunion. And that's the other thing. He's got to stop making. I think OC is only two parts and I was glad to see it. But it's like, we don't need a three-parter for every reunion. The three-parter, the way it kind of came about in Real Housewives world, and I'm trying to think, I think the first three-parter was the Roni season three after Scary Island. I will go back and check. I don't want to take it away if they weren't the first, but you know what I say, they did it all. They started the trends. They gave us the firsts, right? So it wouldn't surprise me if this was. But the way it was supposed to be was a three-part reunion was because explosive shit like Scary Island happened, or Jill and Bethany's fight happened during the season where you knew you were going to have your two regular shows, the two-part reunion, but then you're going to basically need a third part to go over all of the insanity that's, you know, really at the heart of the show for that season. So we also need to like stop with the three-part reunion every season. It's a two-part reunion, a three-parter if it's an epic or crazy year and season, right? So anyway, that's what I've been fixing on this week and what's been bugging me in my brain. But we have a jam-packed episode to get to, including the introduction of Sonia Morgan. So let's do a quick summary of the episode because it's turtle time. So as I said, this episode is jam-packed and we get introduced to Miss Sonia Morgan. So we get, first off, Sonia's package. We get her first appearance. Luann introduces her, which I love. She comes over to her townhouse to get the clothes for the fundraiser that Luann has been putting together. And Sonia graciously offers the first floor of her house, maybe the first and second floor, to host the fundraiser. And then we also get to see a little more of Sonia. We get a lot with the package and that first introduction, but we also get to see her come to Jill's Kodak event where she meets Jill and Kelly for the first time. And we also find out that she's known Ramona forever, and we see Sonia and Ramona catch up. So as for Jill, we see Jill have pizza with Bobby, classic New York pizza, where they discuss Bethany's letter to Bobby and Jill and Bethany's relationship and where it stands. She also meets Luann in Central Park for a little walk around, and they discuss Jill and Bethany's relationship again and Luann's new relationship with a man whose name starts with the letter J. We also get Brooklyn Fashion Week, and so Jill shows up as a guest to Brooklyn Fashion Week. She's in the front row, of course, where she sits with Simon, and she continues to complain and rip on her friends incessantly. It's very hard to watch. And of course, she has nothing nice to say about Brooklyn Fashion Week in general either. And then it's Jill's turn to host an event because we see that she's partnered up with Kodak, and she hosts an event where she meets Sonia for the first time, and she feels that Ramona sabotages the event. Now, as for Luann, she introduces us to Miss Sonia Morgan. Thank you, Luann. It's a great introduction. And we see her continue to plan the fashion charity event. She and Jill, as I said, take a walk around Central Park and talk about Luann's new boyfriend, who was predicted to have by Jill's psychic, if you remember, was predicted to have a name that starts with J. And Luann confirms that is the case, although she also says they're not exclusive. This is a new relationship. They're just dating at this point. And then, of course, she shows up for Jill at Jill's Kodak fashion event, where she gets to be an audience member and watch Ramona and Kelly get into it, Jill and Ramona get into it. And of course, she defends Jill all the way. Now, as for Alex, Alex shows up for Bethany at the Pepperidge Farms event that Bethany is hosting. And once again, she provides an ear for Bethany to talk about her family issues and her friend issues. And then we move to the big night for Alex. It's Brooklyn Fashion Week. Remember, she sits on the board. And we can thank Alex for the Ramona crazy eyes catwalk moment. Thank you, Alex. It's an epic, classic, iconic Bravo TV moment. We see Alex and Simon, they're setting up for Brooklyn Fashion Week. They're putting all the final pieces together. And then, of course, Alex, along with Kelly and Ramona, walk in the fashion show. And despite all of the comments and critical comments, really, from Jill, Alex feels that the show is a total success. And let's be honest, in Bravo TV terms, it's a complete success. Now, as for Bethany, we see her partnering with Pepperidge Farms. She's doing a lot of licensing and partnering. Things are really ramping up for her career. And they're handing out low-calorie, healthy sandwiches. And Alex once again shows up for her. And they discuss not only the things that are going on with Bethany's father, but also what is going on with Jill. And then most importantly, there's the big reveal. Bethany is pregnant. She confirms on TV. We see the whole scene play out, and she is having a baby with Jason. Now, Ramona, we get a completely cringe-worthy Ramona Mario lingerie scene in their condo. And I think Ramona may have been the first to have a cringy lingerie scene with her husband in Housewives history. As I said, Roni seasons 1 through 3 just give us the first of many things that happen in the Bravo universe. The hits just keep on coming. So she greets Mario at their house in lingerie to tempt him into renewing their vows. And then we're on to Brooklyn Fashion Week, where we get one of the most iconic housewife scenes, which is Ramona's runway crazy eyes. It's just such an epic scene. I love it so much. And to top it all off, she then shows up at Jill's Kodak event to give Jill the business about partnering with Kodak. And then as for Kelly, we see Kelly also walk in Brooklyn Fashion Week. She's the only real model of the three ladies who's doing it. And she, as she says, she's in the Big Bird dress. We also see Kelly, there's a very short scene where Kelly takes Simon shopping for clothes because she's hoping to rescue him because his style is so bad. And then Kelly also gets into it with Ramona because she shows up for Jill at the Kodak event and she and Ramona go head to head. And it's another great classic housewife scene. So with that, let's get into the episode, because as I said, there's so much that goes on. Any one of these items would have today just been a single episode of Housewives, but we've got it all packed into one Housewife episode. So let's get into it, because it's time to mention it all. So season 3, episode 7, New Girl, Old Money, opens up with scenes of Park Avenue, which is perfect for what's about to ensue, because we've got Luann and she's going to Miss Sonia Morgan's townhouse to discuss the charity event, but really so we can get introduced to Lady Morgan. So Luann walks into Lady Morgan's townhouse, which as the seasons progress becomes its own character on the show itself. We get one of our first intern spottings. So Luann is greeted by one of the interns. And yes, Sonia had them even back then. Of course, Luann and the intern are speaking French to each other, and the intern goes up to get Sonia. And then we get Luann's voiceover, and she introduces us to Sonia. And I love the way they do this. The whole introduction of Sonia Morgan as a new housewife, which again, this might be one of the first intros in the mid-season of a new housewife. Again, they know Bethany is leaving, right? She's pregnant. She's filming her own show. We don't know that as an audience, but production knows that. So here comes Sonia Morgan, and Luann is introducing her to us first, which I think is fantastic because it's a familiar face that we know and love introducing us to Sonia. So it immediately gives us some camaraderie with her and makes us like her and feel like she's part of the group. And I thought Bravo production needs to take a note from this episode, because this is how you introduce a new housewife. So Sonia arrives, she's coming down the staircase. And I also love that this is right off at the top of the episode. They didn't bury this introduction in the middle. It's boom, right from the top. We see Luann and we're introduced to Sonia. It's a great way to do it. So Sonia is coming down the staircase. She's in a black little mini skirt with kind of a white blouse and a black jacket. She looks great. She has soft hair and makeup. I really like it. She doesn't look like she's tried too hard. And Sonia explains that she's just come back from a yoga retreat. So Sonia. And right from the jump, we see this sweet and confident, which I liked. I feel like we're missing a bit of the confident Sonia these days. But she just has this very sweet air about her. And Sonia tells Luann, you know, you look great. And Luann says the same thing. And Sonia says, well, I tried because, you know, you always do. You always look great. So I tried to do the same. And then she's like, I didn't do my nails. She's a little bit, even though she's confident, she's insecure, maybe about being on TV, really. It's a really great juxtaposition of confidence and insecurity, which I think is a great way to describe Sonia. And then we get this hilarious moment where Luann points to a picture that is on a curio cabinet right in the entrance to the townhouse. And Luann says, oh, I see you know Max. And she picks up a picture and there it is, Maximiliano Palacio, Kelly's fake boyfriend from last season, if you recall. And so, of course, production can't help themselves. They do a flashback to Kelly and those just cringeworthy flirting scenes with Max. It's fantastic. And then we get more of Luann's voiceover where she says that Sonia's a sexy pistol. You know, she's a little bit crazy. And it's just such a brilliant transition to Sonia, because at this point they flash her nameplate. You know, in each scene, they're going to tell you who the scene is about. And this is the first time we see Sonia's nameplate come across with her little picture of her doing her, you know, the shoots that they do beforehand. And it's just brilliant, because now we launch into Sonia's package for who she is. And it really solidifies Sonia as a housewife. And I love that it's at first we get Luann introducing her to us, and we get a little package from Luann giving us the breakdown. But then we get Sonia's package where she tells us who she is. And like I said, this is just a brilliant way to do it. We get the familiarity with Luann introducing her, but then we get to know Sonia for who she is out of her own mouth and her own words. I love it. And so we follow her shopping. She gives us a little bit of her background. They show us the wedding photos, which they love to do on Housewives. I mean, even Bethany, in her, you know, initial season one, we get her wedding photos. So we get some of her wedding photos, and she gives us the background that she married into a very wealthy family, had a kid, and then her marriage fell apart. And now, as she says, she's back to single Sonia, and that's fun too. And we see clips of her going out. We get the voiceover of her saying, "When Sonia Morgan walks into a room, I'm still the straw that stirs the drink," which I love it. And there's a big focus on her as a flirt. You know, she says she goes very well with men. You see her introducing herself to a bunch of men in clips. There's definitely a setup as to who Sonia Morgan is. So we have a great setup. We feel like we know Sonia. And then we go back to her and Luann at the townhouse. And she's looking for clothes for the fundraiser. They're up in Sonia's room, in that little offshoot of a room, almost something that would you kind of like a sitting room that's off of her master. And we hear about the Colorado closet, the Palm Beach closet. I actually think it's very smart. She keeps clothes in each closet from each area of the world that she travels, which is obviously something that only the uber rich who have multiple homes would do. But I love it. I think it's such a great intro. And I if I had that kind of money, I think I might do the same thing. She then calls the housekeeper and asks him to throw all of the clothes that she was looking at for Luann's fundraiser into the elevator. So then we also get introduced that, yes, there is an elevator in the townhouse. And then we get a little bit of Luann explaining the fundraiser, that it's going to be called Cocktails and Couture. And Sonia, being the sweet person that she is, she offers the first floor of her townhouse to host it, which you can tell Luann's a little shocked, like, wow, really? Would you be okay with that? And Sonia says, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, we could even open up the second floor if there's going to be more than a couple hundred people. I love that part of Sonia. She is very generous and very sweet, despite all of her flaws. And the scene ends with Sonia basically saying she needs to move on and she wants to do it with less stuff. So then we cut to Jill. She is getting a slice of classic New York pizza with Bobby. And I just, whenever I watch this scene, I really thought, do they ever really do that? Do Jill and Bobby ever go down to a pizza by the slice place in New York and stand up at the counter and eat pizza? Probably not, but it's a good place for them to have this scene and have a chat. And recall, this is shortly after the ambush happened at Ramona's house where Bethany showed up. So we hear from Jill that she's a bit shell-shocked from the ambush. And then they also talk about the letter that Bethany gives to Bobby, and Jill says that she hasn't read it. And I just thought, are we really supposed to believe that she hasn't even asked Bobby about it? She hasn't read the letter that Bethany gave to him? With as big of a yenta as Jill is, I just can't believe that, unless perhaps this is literally the next day. Because if you were going to cut forward to a Bethany scene, and we're going to see that this is literally the same day as the ambush, that scene was filmed. So unless this is maybe the next day, I don't buy that Jill hasn't talked to Bobby about this or hasn't read it. But she says she hasn't. And I do like that Bobby tells Jill, you know, you really should cherish your friendships. And Bobby tells her that it's hard to throw people out of your life like that. And I think this is very telling of where Jill is in her life, because she says, oh no, it's actually easy to throw people out of your life. It's hard to build relationships. And I think that might be a dig at Bethany, because if you recall, Bethany just, she's a relationship burner, right? She burns that shit to the ground. She constantly is having, you know, throwing people out of her life. She really doesn't know how to build relationships. And I think that's something she still struggles with today. But if that's what Jill was trying to say, I think it really backfired on her, because it just made her look like it's easy for her to throw people out of her life, which is, I think, for most people, not the case. And then you hear Jill go back to typical Jill. Well, she didn't write me a letter. It's like, Jill, why would she have written you a letter? She showed up at Ramona's house to talk to you face to face. But it's kind of that thing that we talk about with Jill, where she's at in this phase is nothing's ever good enough. It harkens back to her mom and that narcissism. No matter what you do, it's not going to be good enough, right? So Bethany shows up hat in hand trying to have a conversation. And instead it's, well, she didn't write me a letter. And ultimately, Bobby just is trying to get Jill to make things right. You know, he wants them to make peace, to make it good. And we get Jill's overview where she says she needs Bobby because he's a balance to her. And it's so, so true. He really does provide that balance. And later on, Jill tries to act like Bobby, like, told her that she was wrong in this situation. And I don't know if Bobby actually went so far as to say that she's wrong, but he definitely tried to tell her she needs to take a different approach. And then at the end of the scene, you know, they kind of say, okay, well, I always have you, right? Bobby says always. It's very sweet. And she says, well, there's a lingerie store down this road. Let's go shopping. And Bobby actually says, let's go shopping. And it's pretty funny and really pretty Jill. So next up is Bethany, and she's a spokesperson for Pepperidge Farms. And she's handing out sandwiches at the Southport. So they're outside, they've got a cart, they've got a line, you know, hanging around. And there are these low-cal, healthy sandwiches kind of going along with her skinny girl, health, you know, chef diet, all of that stuff. It's a good fit. And Alex, being the good friend that she is to Bethany this season and really always, stops by to support Bethany and really give her somebody to talk to about what is going on with Jill. Because if you remember, Jill is telling people behind the scenes at this point not to film with Bethany. And so Bethany doesn't have a big outlet of housewives to bounce these things off of. And I don't think Bethany gives Alex enough credit for what she's doing for Bethany in this scene. She's not only showing up at the Pepperidge Farms event, getting it on film, right? Two housewives showing up in a scene makes it way more likely that this scene is going to get put on TV. So she's doing Bethany a favor with her collaboration with Pepperidge Farms, but she's also giving Bethany another housewife to talk to about this stuff with Jill, because not a lot of people are filming with her at this moment. And you'll also notice that Bethany is in the same outfit that she was wearing at the ambush the episode previous. And so she literally went to Ramona's house that morning, filmed the ambush, and then went over in the afternoon or later afternoon to film this scene. It's the same day. I mean, she is fresh off of the rejection from Jill. So she confides in Alex once again that her father didn't want to see her. She explains that she went down to Los Angeles. Her dad is dying. Her dad didn't want to see her and turned her away. Alex, of course, is a sympathetic friend. They also talk about, Bethany actually brings up, how was Brooklyn Fashion Week? And Alex reminds her, well, it's actually coming up this weekend. And Bethany says, oh, that's right. I'm gone this weekend. That's why I can't go. And I love that that shows also a more natural shooting schedule. Everything now is so overproduced that I love that Bethany's doing her own thing. Alex is doing her own thing. It's not like the two of them have each other's schedules and the shooting schedule memorized in their mind. I love that. And then Bethany goes on to explain that not only did her father reject her, but she explains that she showed up at Ramona's house to talk with Jill, and Jill rejected her too. And Alex is shocked that Bethany went over to Ramona's. And Alex is so sweet with Bethany. I mean, Bethany basically tells her that she's been having doors slammed in her face everywhere she goes. And Alex is comforting her and giving her a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen. And finally, Bethany just kind of says, look, the nonsense isn't important. So then next we see Jill. She's sitting in Central Park waiting, and Luann pulls up in a rickshaw in Central Park. And I just think you can see a little bit more of Jill is trying to do with Luann what she did with Bethany. You know, she does this thing in her confessional where she says, well, what would the Countess do? She'd pull up in a rickshaw. How cute is that? And it's like, there's nothing really cute about it. I think Luann says she couldn't walk in her high heel boots. But I think Jill is trying to, just like she does with Kelly, she's doing the same thing with Luann where she's just trying to force it. And Jill, you can't force it, right? It doesn't work. The thing that was going on with you and Bethany and your friendship and the the energy. It's just, it's a kismet. It's a synergy that happens. You can't force it. The audience feels it. And Jill is dressed like, I think I would describe it as like a modern superhero, like a fashion superhero. It's a very interesting look for Jill. She's got black thick tights on, knee-high black boots, and this black, very tight on top, kind of puffs out at the bottom dress. And it's something that Jill wouldn't normally wear, but I, as weird as it is, I really like it. I wish Jill would have embraced this side of her fashion sense, because it is quirky like Jill, but it's not as gaudy as Jill tends to go. But I think she looks great. You let me know what you think. And Jill and Luann basically walk and talk around the big fountain in the middle of Central Park. It's a beautiful setting. They're so lucky with New York City. It really is the sixth or seventh housewife, depending on what part, you know, how many housewives there are at the time. The scene is just beautiful. The visually, it's a wonderful setting. And they talk about Yom Kippur is coming up. Jill explains what Yom Kippur is and how they have to atone and kind of make up for the wrongs that they've done during the year and really make amends with people as well. So, of course, they talk about Bethany, right? How do you not? And Jill says, yeah, technically I'm supposed to forgive Bethany too, right? And Luann then launches into the fact that she has met a younger French guy and they're recently dating. And she goes back and says, you know, the psychic said that his name was supposed to start with J. And if you remember, Jill has Luann come over. They really just use it as a shit-talking session against Bethany. But the psychic does tell Luann that there's a guy coming into her life that the name is going to start with J. And Jill's like, is the name Jay? And Luann says, yes. So this is our little entry into Jacques. We haven't met him yet, but we know this is Jacques. And in Luann's confessional, she says that Jill did try to set Luann up with somebody and he was over 60. She's totally disgusted. She's like, hello, Jill. I want to go younger this time, which I think is funny. She explains, Jill kind of guesses because she says he's dark, you know, he's French. And Jill says, is he Jewish? And Luann says, yeah, he actually is. And they say Alex would have a heart attack. Alex the Count, Luann's ex-husband, apparently would have a heart attack because Luann is dating a Jewish man. I mean, red flag. What is the hell is going on with that? I mean, if that doesn't say what is going on over in Europe and a tone that is happening against Jewish people, I mean, that is just shocking that they would say that on TV. And you're going to get more of this in the reunion, so stay tuned. But Jill goes on to say that Jewish guys make the best husbands. You know, she's done it twice. She's not proud of it, but she's married. She's been married before, right? Allie's dad was also Jewish. And so they continue to walk around beautiful New York City. It's fall. The leaves are turning. It's, again, a beautiful sight. Then Jill does this thing where I feel like it's always very obvious to me where she's trying to be Bethany and she just doesn't have the one-liners. It's like, know your strengths, know your weaknesses. Jill, this isn't your strength. She says, where are we? You know, this feels like Sherwood Forest. And she says, yes, it's Sherwood Forest and Little Red Riding Hood has a house over here. And it's like she's trying to be funny, but none of it is working. It just, Jill, know who you are. That's not your strength. Move it along. But we see the ladies walking off to the rest of their day, and it's a great end to the scene. It's a beautiful scene. So now we get to a incredibly cringeworthy Ramona scene. In fact, dare I say, I think this is the first husband-wife, housewives, cringy lingerie, bathtub, sex type scene. And I totally forgot about this scene. It's like I said, every scene that comes up, you're like, there can't possibly be more to this episode. There is so much packed into this episode. I love old school Housewives productions for this. But so Ramona is sitting in their condo in black lingerie. She's got like champagne on the table and like fruit or whatever. She's waiting for Mario to come home from work. So Mario arrives and he's clearly surprised. And I think what makes this so different from the scenes we see today, I'm thinking like Whitney and Justin and that whole body painting, spanking scene or whatever that got him fired. Those kind of scenes. This one, I feel like Ramona is so awkward and uncomfortable. And Mario is very surprised and a bit taken aback as well. And I can't tell if it's because of the topic they're discussing, the renewal of the vows, or just because maybe a producer set Ramona up to do this and she's really uncomfortable. I'd love, if we can get Ramona on the podcast, I would love to ask those type of questions. But anyway, so she's there, Mario arrives, and she basically in the end is enticing him because she wants to ask him to renew their vows. And it's almost like she has to convince him. He's a bit shocked. It really seems like they have not talked about this before. She's doing it authentically on camera. But of course, Mario's like, yeah, let's talk about it. And, you know, they walk off. It's a short scene. But I was thinking, just knowing what we know now, I was not thinking this at the time at all. But knowing what we know now about Mario and the fact that he was cheating, the whole season 4 Morocco, I kind of forget it. But there was like that lady who said, oh, there's another woman. It's not your daughter, that like fortune teller or whatever. But I did wonder on my rewatch, like, is she doing this because she just wants to clear the past and, you know, start anew, and they're all looking for something to do, right? As Jill will say, she had to throw these parties because you want to have stuff to be filmed. And so who knows, maybe she's doing it just because it's part of the season. It gave her something to talk about. But I couldn't help but also wonder, was maybe she doing this because she was starting to catch cheating vibes or separation vibes, like they were maybe growing apart or something? Another question I'd like to ask Ramona. But the scene is hilarious. It's cringeworthy. It's a bit awkward. But all in all, it's classic Roni season 3. And of course, we know that Ramona's renewal of her vows led to the reason why we're going on a trip to Scary Island shortly. And the finale scene, the whole finale episode was really about Ramona's wedding. So in hindsight, thank God she did it no matter what the reason was, because it provided for great television. So then we open up with Alex, and we are at Brooklyn Fashion Week. She's setting up for the runway show. Simon is there. She seems a bit stressed out, but she feels good about it. You can tell she's happy with the way that things are coming together. And if you remember, Ramona, Kelly, and Alex are going to be walking in the show. So Alex is setting it up. She's also going to double as a model. And we see Ramona arrive. She's with the designer, Louis Durant, who was the closing out Brooklyn Fashion Week. And the ladies are wearing his fashions. And Ramona, of course, has brought white wine in her purse and some glasses. So she cheers with Louis Durant. And I think maybe because she's probably had a couple glasses of wine, the reason that she did the Ramona Crazy Eye runway walk that's about to come up here, perhaps the wine had something to do with it. Maybe not, but perhaps the wine had something to do with it. And as they cheers, Luis mentions something about thanking her for the jewelry. So you can tell they've used True Faith jewelry in this fashion show, which I think was smart of Ramona. The jewelry maybe didn't go. But again, I thought I appreciated her business acumen. She is a businesswoman. And I think she was watching Bethany do what Bethany does. And this was another way to get True Faith jewelry out into the ether. So not a bad move. And then this next part is so iconic, knowing what we know now. But when she's toasting with Louis Durant, she's thanking him as well for including her in the fashion show. And she says, I hope I don't embarrass you. And he says, don't worry, I don't think you will. And then, of course, I mean, it doesn't happen in the show, but cut to Ramona's crazy eyes and the most iconic runway walk in a Housewives history. And I'm sure the producers were loving it, knowing what they were putting together, to have a natural foreshadowing like that. It's a great way to end that little piece of the scene. And poor Alex, she's in the back getting ready. There's people doing her hair and makeup. The makeup's a bit severe, I will say. And the hair was just like something out of a Britney Spears video, like from the early 2000s. I don't know. It was just very strange to me. The hair did not match the outfits, so none of their hair looked good. Kelly, she can take great pictures, let's be honest. She can model, and she didn't look good. Ramona, the side pony, it was hilarious. But poor Alex, she's getting this crazy hair done in the back. It's literally been back combed all up the front, so it looks like she has a mohawk. It's hanging in front of her face, and she's being interviewed for the local news about Brooklyn Fashion Week. And you hear her say, yeah, you know, I'm on the board of Brooklyn Fashion Week. And I just thought, this poor thing. Did the producers, like, did they go ask, hey, can you come interview this person right now or something? I just felt Alex was done dirty right there, but it's a pretty hilarious scene to watch. We also cut to Ramona. She's asking the models for help with the walk. And I think you really see how nervous Ramona is, which is another factor to what will become the iconic Brooklyn Fashion Week runway walk by Ramona and the Crazy Eyes. She is practicing and really nervous and asking these girls for help. And Luis comes over and you can tell he's kind of like, relax, don't do it like that. And he says, you know, you're looking at your husband and you're going to ravage him, be alluring, which I also thought was hilarious foreshadowing because clearly Luis is looking at Ramona walking going like, holy shit, chill out, lady. She makes this awkward joke that she ravaged her husband earlier already and she kind of cackles and then she does this like, shh, to the camera. And I really felt like, okay, Ramona's had a couple glasses of wine. It's why I say I think part of that played into the crazy eyes Ramona walk because she's definitely nervous and perhaps a little tipsy at this point. So then Kelly arrives. Alex, we get a bit of her confessional where she says that originally it was just Kelly and Alex that were going to walk in the show. But then Ramona found out and asked if she could join. And I just thought, okay, so first off, she did this to herself. And also, I loved the reality of it, like the lack of production there. It's so much more organic as opposed to producers coming in and saying, okay, here's who's doing what, you're doing this, you're doing that, you need to do this. It was the ladies having things to do and Ramona going, well, crap, I want to be a part of it and inserting herself. And look what we got from it. We got an iconic moment in Housewives history. So there's something to be said for the organic here. We also get a mini iconic moment, at least to me, it's lives rent free in my head. And we get Alex's confessional where she says, this is going to be one heck of a fashion show. And go to our TikTok page if you want to see a hilarious video. It's the clip and I kind of slow-moed that piece down because it's, to me, it's iconic. I love these moments from Alex. But then Jill arrives and I will say her appearance at Brooklyn Fashion Week is really the worst part of Jill. I feel like we get the worst of her in this scene. She arrives and she just simply can't find a single nice thing to say. She said she's horrified. It's so low rent. You know, the Countess would never be caught dead at an event like this. And then, of course, we have to talk about Jill's outfit because she's wearing, it looks like a denim skirt, a matching denim skirt and halter top, or perhaps it's just a strapless pencil dress, but it looks like it's two pieces. It's denim and has a huge gold lame flower set that's kind of going down from the top of the shoulder, down through the center and down to the bottom. And she's in very high heels and for as much as Jill is talking about the tackiness of the Brooklyn Fashion Week event, the tackiness of her outfit and the irony of that is not lost on me. It's so good. She goes backstage before the show to say hi to the ladies, and we see her talk to Kelly about the email that Jill sent about her being friends with Jill, I guess. I mean, about her being friends with Bethany, because it doesn't sound like Jill and Kelly have seen each other since Jill sent that email. So to Kelly's credit, she does confront Jill and say, don't send me emails like that. That's unwelcome. And they kind of talk through it. Kelly enlightens Jill about PR 101 and 102. She says she's told Jill about PR 101 because Jill is pissed that Kelly is saying nice things about Bethany in the press and is filming with her and getting along with her. And that's when Kelly says, well, I haven't told you about PR 102, which is, I think what she's trying to say is to just drop it so the papers stop talking about it. So she's basically claiming that she's being nice to Bethany to make the press get off her back about the rift between her and Bethany. And then we get some of Kelly's confessional where she's trying to explain PR 101 and PR 102. And I just feel like it's very illustrative of Kelly's crazy mind and what she's thinking. She's so incapable of properly expressing herself. It's interesting slash terrifying to watch. So then we see Ramona come up and Jill just immediately goes for the jugular. She starts in on the jewelry. We later hear Jill say that she knew it was Ramona's jewelry, which is why she's giving her a bad time. And I just thought it was so rude. She'd be so pissed if someone was coming after her business. And then we get Ramona's confessional where she says that Jill was clearly not there to support them. And it's like, yeah, Ramona's picking up what Jill's throwing down. And then Ramona says that she's jealous because she wasn't in the show. And at first I kind of balked at it like, Jill's not jealous because she's not in the show. And I went, oh, maybe Jill's jealous because she's not in the show. It seemed like a very Jill thing, especially at that time. So perhaps Ramona's onto something. And then Jill kind of gives the meanest dig of the night where she says, oh, where's Mario? He didn't come to see his beautiful wife. And then she turns to the camera and does this incredibly rude smirk. And I just thought, Jill, not a good look. And I think she thought she was being funny. Again, I think she tries to be Bethany and she fails miserably. She's so much better when she's just herself. And this is one of those moments where she failed miserably. And funnily enough, it made me think of Jill being like Jim from The Office, where he looks at camera and kind of gives a facial expression. It's kind of like Jill had one of those moments, except she's being incredibly mean in that moment. So now we're on to the actual fashion show. It's about to start. Jill is sitting with Simon front row, of course, because, you know, remember, she only sits front row at fashion shows. So she's front row with Simon, and she is just complaining and being negative about everything from the chairs are uncomfortable to she's critiquing the fashion as it's walking down. You can tell Simon is a little bit uncomfortable. And then, you know, every once in a while, Kelly has a lucid confessional. And I think she really hits the nail on the head with this one. She points out that before the fashion show backstage, Ramona was really nervous. And she says that's why her eyes get big and crazy, because she gets all strung out and wants to do things perfectly. And I told her not to act that way. And I thought that's kind of funny, because for once, Kelly is actually onto something. I think she's actually living on planet Earth with that comment. So Kelly walks the runway. Her dress is just terrible for her. It's this yellow strapless dress, and she knows it. She says strapless is not the look for her because she has very broad shoulders and it makes her look like a linebacker, in her words. And the dress made her look like Big Bird. And it did. It's totally her Big Bird dress. But I will say this. Being a model, she clearly knows how to dress herself and how not to dress herself, because she's spot on. This was not a good look. And then you couple it with the terrible hair and makeup, and it's just altogether a disaster. But so Kelly comes out. Of course, she's professional, looks great when she walks. And then we have Alex, and she really is trying her best, I think, to look sultry down the runway. She has this beautiful black kind of sheer flowing dress on. And in Jill's confessional, as Alex is walking out doing her best, she doesn't look terrible, but she's not, you know, she does have kind of a weird look on her face. Jill says, oh, well, you know, I expected a lot from Alex. She has the body of a model. She may not have the face, but she's got the body. And it's like, Jesus. I mean, that one just hit straight into the heart. So you couple that comment with how Jill was behaving at Brooklyn Fashion Week overall. And again, this is not a good scene for Jill. And then Jill says that Alex looked like she was channeling the devil and had a serious and mean face on. And let's just keep that one in our back pocket, because Kelly is going to echo very similar sentiments to Alex on Scary Island. And it kind of goes, it'll weave into my theory that it's almost as if she was taking what other people were saying as truthful reality and living in it. And I think that's illustrative of the point. So let's keep that one in our back pocket for now. But Jill is basically sitting there now at the fashion show telling Simon, of all people, that Alex needs to slow down, and basically telling him that he should shout instructions from the audience to her. It was crossing the line. And I'm surprised Simon didn't turn around and say, you know what, Jill, shut the fuck up. Like, he was very gentlemanly with Jill, because I would have been pissed if she was talking about my spouse like that. And there is this very sweet moment from Simon where Jill is complaining and criticizing Alex. And Simon says, oh, she remembered to turn. And he's so proud of her. And I just thought that's a really nice moment where he's trying to just shut Jill out and be proud of her. She's not a professional model. This isn't what she does. She's doing this for charity, and she's doing it because she's on the board. So I thought I'd give Simon a shout out, since I usually point out his creepy moments. This was actually a sweet moment. And then the moment we don't know, that we've all been waiting for, here comes Ramona. She's in a strapless black pencil tight-fitting skirt. She looks great. Of course, she's always had a great figure. In fact, where is that dress? I feel like that dress should be on display at BravoCon or something. We need to find that dress. But from the moment Ramona starts walking down the catwalk, her facial expressions and her eye expressions, I will say, for lack of a better term, are out of control. If you haven't seen this moment, I've got a bunch of videos of it posted on my TikTok page. You can really find it anywhere, because it is the thing that memes are made of. It is so fantastic. And, you know, in addition to her crazy eyes, she's like stiff as a board and so nervous, and it's kind of holding her neck funny. The whole thing is just a catastrophe. And Jill and Simon are laughing. They're really trying to hold it together, but they're laughing because, let's face it, Ramona looks like some sort of fembot, like walking down the runway. It's so hilarious. And then we get an iconic line from Simon where he looks at Jill because Jill's like, what was that? And Simon says, the eyes are popping. It is another classic moment in Housewives history. And it's up on our TikTok page if you want to see it. And this is such an iconic moment that it's the crazy eyes blindfold and the glasses that Andy Cohen uses on Watch What Happens Live when the guests are playing a game where they need to be blindfolded. The Ramona crazy eyes are what is posted on the outside of the blindfold or the glasses. It's that iconic. So if you haven't seen it, please check it out. And Jill just goes for it in her confessional. She says Ramona looked like an alien invaded her body. She was a robot with a giraffe-like neck, and the eyes were bulging, and that's a perfect description. And Jill also had to throw in the "she looks like an idiot" comment, which she was clearly not happy with Ramona, or maybe she was a little jealous, or both. And so after all of those iconic moments, Jill says she just couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. So the show ends and she leaves without saying goodbye. We then get one of our little mini scenes, our commercial scenes, and it's Kelly. She is taking Simon shopping for clothes because she thinks he has terrible taste. And as she says, and I gotta say, once again, she's spot on. She's not always in La La Land. She's just mostly in La La Land. But she said he would rather get recognized for wearing something bad than not get recognized at all, right? And she's spot on. He would rather be recognized for being loud and outlandish rather than just looking good and walking in. I also think there's something too. They really wanted to buy designer brands, and I have a feeling they were probably going to the clearance racks. That's probably even more than they could afford, but that made it possible. And I think a lot of the times you're left with all of the stuff that nobody wants to wear on the clearance racks, and perhaps that has a little bit to do with it too. But Kelly is definitely onto something. He likes the attention. And we also get a little bit of like creepy Simon. He's changing and he comes out in his underwear, which are like just little, you know, tight bikini underwear, and he throws his pants at Kelly, and she's like totally disgusted, and she says, I think he wants me to be like this, and she put her hand over her eyes, but like you were peeking through, and she's like, but really, I'm like, no freaking way. And I just kind of thought that was Kelly's way of expressing that Simon was being creepy, and she doesn't know how to say it, but I think he was, and I hated that moment. But overall, I liked the scene, and I thought it would have been fun to see more of this, where it's not Simon trying to be something he's not. Kelly's like, look, you suck at dressing, and so let's go shopping and get yourself together. And the two of them are kind of equally weird, so it worked for me. So as if the episode wasn't already filled with enough stuff, it's just jam-packed. We then open up on Bethany's condo. And for what I think is really probably a reenactment, at this point, they probably knew she was pregnant. They've given her the spinoff show. She's going to be leaving. But they do the reenactment of finding out that, drumroll please, Bethany is pregnant. So they're in her bathroom. She's rifling through her like plastic drawers that are underneath the sink, which has tampons in it, and then just also happens to have a pregnancy test right in the front part. And I thought, either that was a setup or she's not so surprised that she's pregnant, because the only time I had pregnancy tests accessible and in the front of my tampon drawer was when I was trying to get pregnant. So I highly doubt that this was a surprise. So it's either a reenactment or she was trying to get pregnant and it's not so shocking. And we all know at this point she was really upset that she doesn't, you know, wasn't married, didn't have a kid. So it's not surprising that she would try to get pregnant either. So we see Bethany, the bathroom door is slightly ajar while she's going to be peeing on the pregnancy test stick. And I cannot believe that they got her to do this. This is just so not Bethany. It was very interesting. I don't know if they thought it was going to be, hey, we need all of this to really build it up for your new show, to get your new show to go. But anyway, I've always thought it was just a bit too much TMI. And I'm usually not prudish when it comes to that. But I was like, even for me, I'm like, oh, we don't need to see like the door half cracked and like the side of her skinny little hip, like sitting there on the toilet with no underwear on. Like it was a bit too much. But this is when we get her confessional where she says, holy shit balls, I'm pregnant. So she's obviously very excited. And another great production move, because as she's peeing on the stick and the whole entry of the scene, it's kind of dramatic, tense music. And then when she reveals that she's pregnant, it switches to very upbeat, that typical Roni. You'd know it if you heard it from the first few seasons, that kind of like interlooping music that they would play. They totally pick it up and make it happy. So we see her reenactment or whatever of she's sitting on the floor of the bathroom calling Jason over and over. He's not picking up. She's like, come on, pick up. You're pregnant. Hello. And she's not getting a hold of him. And I also felt that this part was acted. There was something about her sitting on the floor calling Jason. It's where it really hit me that I said, okay, this is probably a reenactment. There's just something about the way she's playing, him not picking up the phone. I don't, again, if I could get Bethany on the show, I'd be interested in asking her, was this a reenactment? Just be honest. So then she gets a hold, finally, of her friend Stephanie, who she says, and this is where I felt like she's setting herself up for her new show, because there's this confessional of her. And she says, so then I get a hold of Stephanie, my best friend. And I think if anybody knows Bethany, she doesn't have a best friend. Like, she doesn't have very many friends from forever. She does have her friend, I think her friend Terry, who I think was the only person that stood up with her in the Bethany getting married wedding when she got married to Jason. But I tried to look back and see, who is Stephanie? Who is she even talking about that she got a hold of? But regardless, we see her sitting on the floor of the bathroom, and she says to her, you know, oh my God, can you believe it? I'm pregnant. Isn't that shocking? And her friend's very sweet. She's like, you know what? All women are meant to be pregnant, so you're going to be fine. Like, don't worry about it. She's very supportive. And it's sweet. You can see Bethany is excited, but also nervous. And we're getting the glimpse into the big change that's going to happen to her life. We don't know that she's getting married to Jason at this point, but we do know that she's pregnant now. And then I thought it was really telling, because she makes a comment to her friend Stephanie, whoever she's on the phone with, her best friend. And she says, so what am I supposed to just like get fat now? And her friend says, yes, get fat, get a belly, enjoy yourself. And I just thought, she always preaches that she has somehow gotten rid of her food noise. And I just don't think she really has ever gotten rid of her food noise. I just think that's an interesting first response to your girlfriend about getting pregnant. Am I supposed to get fat now? But anyway, it's kind of funny at the end. She's her voiceover. We hear her say that she's alone with Cookie, her dog. She's sitting there on the floor and nobody cares. But of course, the audience cared, because this whole scene was a great way to set up the stage for her show, Bethany Getting Married, that comes after this. And one other thing that I noticed that really felt like they're setting the stage and kind of getting scenes to set up her new show too, was she had this whole vibe in her confessionals of, you know, this is all new to me. What do I do? This is so weird. I just, you know, I'm not the mothering kind. What am I supposed to do? Even that conversation with Stephanie, she says, like, I'm not the mother kind. And what am I supposed to do? And this best friend of hers has kids. And it just seemed like it was a whole shtick of Bethany's getting married and she doesn't know how to be a wife. And Bethany's pregnant and she doesn't know how to be a mom. I'm wondering if that was an angle they were trying to hit in the beginning of the show. But I digress. So then next up, we have Jill, because if meeting Sonia Morgan, if going to Brooklyn Fashion Week and getting Ramona's crazy eyes, Bethany announcing that she's pregnant, if all of this wasn't enough for just one episode, not one season, one episode, now we've got Jill and she is partnering with Kodak and having a Kodak event that she's hosting. And the event is surrounding the relaunching of their website. And Kodak Gallery, I think is what it was called, Kodak Gallery, they did have a good product, because at this time, for those of you who aren't old enough to remember, we used to have to take pictures on film and send the film away, have it developed, wait for the pictures to come back, and then digital cameras had started to come into the world at this time. And so companies like Kodak were struggling, because film was a huge seller for them and it was obsolete at this point. But they did create this really cool thing, which I loved, because it's true, you still don't have printed pictures. And that was still a hard transition for people at that time. So the Kodak Gallery, it worked with your Kodak digital camera. You attached it to like a little printer if you wanted to, and you can go through and select your photos and have them printed right there at your house. So I will say it was a pretty good relaunch, rebrand, and then everyone got into the space. So who knows what ended up happening, but As much as I like to diss on Jill and some of her selections, especially her outfit selections, the partnership with Kodak, and we'll see coming up soon, is not as bad as Ramona tries to make it. So, of course, Luann arrives. She's showing up for her new best friend, Jill, at the Kodak event, and they have a mutual admiration society meeting. You know, oh, everything you wear is so great. I love what you're wearing. You look great, blah, blah, blah. Jill says, you know, she's wearing Dior. Bobby took her shopping. And then Luann explains that she invited her friend, Sonia. And we find out that Jill doesn't really know Sonia. Most likely they haven't met before. Then Kelly arrives, right? She's in the Mutual Admiration Society with Luann and Jill as well. And Jill makes this comment about, oh, you're wearing a long dress for once. Which, of course, Kelly always tries to act like she doesn't dress sexy. And it's hilarious. So I love the comment by Jill kind of pointing this out. And then Ramona arrives, and you can tell she is just, she's got an agenda. She does not seem happy, and she launches in immediately with Jill about, why are you affiliated with Kodak? They're a totally antiquated company. Ramona's pointing out all the weaknesses of the business, and Jill's just left sitting there trying to defend. I mean, Ramona came in hot. And then we hear why I think Ramona came in so hot. She says, well, what did you think of the fashion show? You really snubbed us. You didn't even come over and say we did a good job or hi. And I'm sure production at this point, too, because Jill was so nasty about the fashion show. I mean, her confessional, she is just ripping. She's ripping Brooklyn Fashion Week, the whole show, apart. She's ripping all of her friends who walked in the show apart. I am sure that the production was super happy to tell Ramona this and get her all fired up because, man, she came in guns a-blazing. And we find out it's because she's pissed. She knows Jill was totally talking shit about them and didn't even bother coming over and saying goodbye. Kelly's around, but she could kind of care less. She's kind of tuned out. Jill, you can just tell, is also, not only is she pissed that Ramona is saying the shit about Kodak, but she's pissed because Ramona is not playing ball. She's filming with Alec, she's filming with Bethany, she's not falling in line with Jill's plan, and I think Jill is pissed. It finally bubbles over enough where Jill finally just says, you know what, you should leave, and just tells Ramona to leave. And I love it because the Jill-Ramona feud continues, and I think that's one of the most authentic, fun feuds to ever be presented on reality television. And Ramona responds with, oh, that's such a Bethany thing, you should leave, which I think is her way of really hitting Jill below the belt because she knows how much she's fighting with Bethany right now and how little she thinks of her. So I love that that's Ramona's go-to now, is to compare her to Bethany. Then we get Ramona's confessional where she says, and then Jill sends over 6-foot Luann and Kelly to attack me, which is hilarious because we cut to Luann and Kelly kind of approaching Ramona, telling her she's out of control. Kelly says that she's jealous. Why else would she act like that? It's like, oh God, here we go again with the jealousy thing. Then Sonia arrives, which is great timing because it brings a little bit of light to the party. She meets Kelly. Of course, Luann introduces her to Kelly and then to Jill. And Sonia is so sweet and gracious in this scene. She says, you know, thank you for inviting me. I think Luann's like, I invited you. And she just takes it with a grain of salt. She just rolls with it. She's so sweet. And Jill says in her confessional that her first impression of Sonia is that she's pretty. And I didn't know, there was just something off about that. It would be like pretty and sweet. I don't know. She didn't add anything about her personality into it, which seemed a bit strange to me. So anyway, the three of them are sitting in, or four of them now with Sonia, are sitting in a circle talking, and Kelly's getting ready to leave, and Luann brings up Max, because don't forget, when Luann walked into the townhouse when we first met Sonia, there was a picture of Maximiliano Palacio sitting on the desk, and Luann brought it up. It was great. So Sonia gives the backstory and says, oh yes, of course I know Max. She says that she discovered Max the day he hit New York City. You can see Kelly is like, are you sure? Maybe this isn't the same Max. She's like, Maximiliano Palacio. That's where I always get that. It's such a great line. I love it. And Kelly looks panicked. And in her confessional, she pretends that she didn't know, like, which Max? There's this Max and that. So I didn't really know which Max she was talking about. It's like, oh, please give me a break, Kelly. Nice try, but you're just embarrassed now. We get a bit of the party girl, Sonia Morgan. You know, she's like, oh, yeah, we used to meet up weekly, but then I found somebody else. And Kelly's like, you met up weekly? I think her like level of embarrassment is getting higher and higher when she realizes Max wasn't like that obsessed with her. So then Jill says something about Ramona and goes to give Sonia kind of the background on Ramona. I think she wanted to shit talk. And Sonia goes, oh, Ramona, I've known Ramona forever. And I think that kind of stopped Jill in her tracks, like, ooh, I better find out more about this relationship where I come in hot. Because I think she was about to try to shit talk Ramona in front of Sonia in hopes to sway her against Ramona. And then Luann says, you've got to tell the Ramona story. So Sonia tells this hilarious story about being at the Badgley Mischka sample sale like 20 years ago. And Ramona was there and came up and said, oh, I love that dress you have. Can I just try it on? I'm not going to steal it from you. Can I just try it on? And she goes, later on, I'm like, where's Ramona? And she goes, I found her standing in line holding the dress, right? Which I think is hilarious. I love that little insight to the Ramona and Sonia of 20 years prior, sitting in the New York City as like party girls. So then we get to see Sonia go over and say hello to Ramona and catch up. There's a certain energy about the two of them. I love the two of them together as well. They talk about how they were single in New York City when they first met. Now Sonia's been divorced for 3 or 4 years. And I never noticed this before, but on the rewatch, I noticed in the background at the Kodak event, in kind of the loungy areas and on all the cocktail tables, there are pictures of Jill Zarin everywhere. And first I was like, this is so freaking tacky, Jill. Like, get a clue. No one's going to want to partner with you if all you want to do is plaster your face everywhere. And then I realized, but this is the Kodak Gallery website, because I noticed some of them were pictures of Kelly and Luann and Jill in the background. Some of them were pictures of her family. And then I thought, okay, wait a second. Maybe Kodak asked her to take a bunch of pictures to relaunch the gallery picture, you know, online thing that they were launching at the time. So maybe it's not totally Jill's fault, but it's kind of hilarious when you look around. I honestly don't know if there's more Jill pictures or Kodak branding. And I actually think it's more Jill pictures. So just something that was funny I noticed in the background. So then we see that Jill is announced on stage. She's going to give a little speech. And then a little fight breaks out between Ramona and Jill in the audience. And I also have to point out, I love this because she's doing a Kodak event. There are a ton of people at this event. This isn't what they do now, where the only people at the Christmas party are like the Real Housewives and their husbands. It's like, that's not realistic. This is real. This is a real event with tons of other people. And there, I think it creates a more authentic and natural environment for the women to be around anyway, because here they are bickering in the back of the room thinking that nobody's seeing them because they're at this big party. They probably wouldn't have done that had they been at a small 6-person party. They would have either had some stupid fight in front of everybody, or they would have just kept it to themselves for the next time. But so they, and who knows how loud they're actually arguing, but you do see them pan back and forth between Jill, who's on stage, and she's kind of, you can look, if you notice her face, she's looking over like as if she does hear Kelly and Ramona going at it. And then they're panning back over to Kelly and Ramona getting into a fight. And Jill, we see her say, she's like, hands are flying, hands are flying. I look over and they're fighting and they're totally ruining my event. So she claims to have seen it. So Kelly and Ramona are throwing insults back and forth to each other. Ramona's like, what do you want me to be like? Hi, Kelly, like you, because she's telling Ramona to simmer. And she says, you know what? I don't want to talk to you. You have no good brain. Goodbye. And then Kelly kind of does this thing where she turns around and acts like a little kid and goes, I don't want to talk to you. You have no brain. Goodbye. And kind of copies Ramona. It's hilarious and so childish of Kelly and so perfect of her to do, because it's a great illustrative moment of into who Kelly is. And we basically end the episode with Jill's confessional, where she goes on and on about Ramona and how the behavior was a betrayal to their friendship, and that Ramona tried to sabotage her endorsement deal. And you can tell Jill is pissed at everybody at this point, but really pissed at Ramona. And I think she's going to be coming for her. And that's where we leave that episode. But make sure to join us next time when we take a deep dive into season 3, episode 8, Let's See That Ring. And as always, please like, follow, and subscribe to us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Deep Fix Podcast. And you can find Deep Fix Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, and most other places you get your podcasts. Until next time, see y'all then.